I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome aboard. So I do travel around a lot, and I'm business. I go different places. So last week, I was in the beautiful state of Connecticut. And I have to tell you, for those who have not been, you know, we think about the more congested areas, Hartford or Bridgeport or things like that. But I tell you, I've been to Connecticut on business quite a few times in the last couple of years, and I'm always not surprised, but I'm pleased. Sorry about that. I was in the area of Danbury, Westport, a couple of different places, and it's really a beautiful state. When you go to the far east of the state, where I think they have the casino that's out there, that whole area is just absolutely beautiful. But I was out there on business because, as you know, I do threat assessments for schools and businesses and religious facilities and all that, where I go in and I take a look at the facility and try to determine where their security gaps are. And then I give them a way to tighten up those security gaps, you know. So we look at all different kinds of things. And it was a great experience. And the district I was in, I won't say what district it was, but absolutely beautiful district. Nice town, nice community. Everybody was very friendly. And in the school, this is a cute story. We'll do something cute here. Nice. Because we're going to get to some hard stuff in a little bit. In the middle of the school, they have an open air quad, right, where the kids can go and they do outdoor learning, but they're really inside the middle of the school. You can't get to this thing other than inside the school, so you have to be in first before you can get to this. And every year, they said, for about the past 10 years, a duck, a female mallard, will fly in and land in this place, and then she has her eggs, has her duck eggs. Well, this is the cute part, is that at some point, after she sits on the nest and they incubate and they're ready to go and they pop out and she got all these baby ducks, the mama duck will march them around this center thing and come up to the center door. One of the kids or a teacher or somebody sees the duck. They stop the whole school. They stop everything. All the kids come running. They get ready. They call the police because right across the street is a lake. I'm sorry. I got a tickly throat today. They have this lake across the street. And once they're all ready, they open the doors and mama duck and all the baby ducks, the little ducklings, walk through the school, out the front door, down the street where the traffic is all stopped. People are watching. They cross the street and they go down to the lake. It's so nice. And they have a lot of people in the area who are artists and whatever have done pictures and paintings and some statues they put out there. And it was a really nice thing to see. And that's why I'm telling you about it, because it was really nice. Now, here's a little scoop. For you homeowners and people who love the little animals. Because again, I'm going early here in our program before we get into some nasty stuff that's going on in the world. I'm going to tell you nice things. So I have a pool in my backyard, and you know, here in the Northeast, it's freezing cold until the middle of June. But every year we get a pair of ducks, a mama and a papa. We call them Bonnie and Clyde. And they've come back every year for the past 5 or 6 years, and I have the pool cover on, but they land in the water and they float around, and I give them a little bit of bread and I give them whatever duck food is. You go to the store, give me duck food. They give you something to give to the ducks. My grandchildren come and they feed the ducks, and it's just a nice, cute little thing. Again, these ducks in my yard. Well, we see that the duck, the mama duck, is in the another part of my yard all by herself. And she's walking around down there. And I said, that's strange that she never leaves Clyde. And she never walks around the bottom of my yard, you know, this bottom piece of yard I have. So I didn't think nothing of it. Well, I saw her down there 3 or 4 times. And the other day I went to take a look. And we have, if you think about the way my backyard works, you go out from the house and we go at about 15 feet and then 65 or 70 feet wide, whatever the property is. And then there's a retaining wall and it goes down, right? And then it goes out to the rest of the yard. So you got about a 4-foot drop. We got stairs going down there, but we landscaped it all. It's nice. It's a nice place to sit and relax. We do fire pit and all that kind of stuff. Well, I go down there and I'm looking, and we have ivy growing on this retaining wall. And I'm saying, why do I keep seeing that duck over here? Well, there's an opening under my deck. I said, let me see what if she's going under there. And I couldn't imagine why she's going under there. But I go over and I have a little fig tree. It's about 3.5 feet tall. We got figs off it last year, which was excellent. And I go over and I'm looking at the fig tree and there's buds all over it. And then I notice right behind the fig tree is the retaining wall and the ivy. And I look down at the bottom and there are 7 duck eggs. It was a nice little nest and 7 or 8 duck eggs in there. And then I realized what she's doing down there. Mama duck has her eggs. Well, I started to find out about this. You think they drop their eggs all at once and they move on, and they don't. Over the course of a couple of days or even longer, they will have between 1 and 13 eggs. And sometimes they'll drop 3 eggs and then 4 eggs and until they're all done, whatever she's going to put there. And I went in, and there's these beautiful eggs in this nice little nest she made. And I'm saying, look at that. She's hidden by the ivy so the animals can't get to her. It was really adorable that we have this in my yard, these little ducks. So when we're going to watch it now, I said, well, how can she have eggs on different days? And the weather here in New Jersey is miserable. It's cold. Turns out, until Mama Duck decides to dedicate herself to her brood and then go sit on them, they will not be ready to start growing. So when she decides that's it, no more eggs, and she decides to plop down on them eggs and start warming them up, incubating them, that's when the eggs will start to develop into little ducklings. So nature is just absolutely amazing. And I really enjoy that they're down there, my little ducklings. So as I'm walking around the yard, see, this is something you didn't know about Lieutenant Joe, right? I talk about all this crazy stuff, but I love God's nature. I find comfort in it. I find beauty in it. We grow all kinds of plants. I have a big garden and stuff like that because I just love being outside with my hands in the dirt and feeling God's world. And I'm looking around my yard and I got these big planters. You know, these big things, they're like 3.5 feet around and they're 3 feet tall. They're gigantic. We put big plants in them. We flowers and all that stuff in the summer. Well, I got this one and it's got a little tree in it that we keep every year, puts out flowers and it's real nice. And then I put flowers in front of it and I look and I see, gee, I cleaned all the leaves and everything out of here, including all these pots. I clean them, getting them ready, you know, for 3 more months till they're ready to go. But anyway, and I look and I see a clump of like grass and weeds and all that stuff on top of this. And I go and then I see cottontail rabbit fur mixed up in there. And I'm looking at it. I said, no way. What is that? So I looked it up and it's a cottontail rabbit baby's nest in my planter thing. Now, we had this about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. I had the same thing and I didn't know what this was. And I start to clean the leaves off and I look in, there's a bunch of baby rabbits and they were adorable. So now we have the same thing. So on two sides of my yard, I have baby ducklings that are going to be coming. Now I got baby rabbits. It's really wonderful. You know, and of course, you know, I throw out little carrots and celery and some lettuce. You have to look all this stuff up, though. You got to make sure you give them the right things and make sure you give them healthy stuff. You don't give them the stuff that, you know, they shouldn't have. But it's really a wonderful thing to see nature right in my yard. I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. So I wanted to lead with that today. You know, so if you have bunny rabbits, be very careful because they will put a nest right in the middle of your lawn. And then you go out there and you cut the grass and that's exactly horror as you can imagine. So you should go out and check your lawn, look all around the edges of your property and make sure you don't have any bunny rabbit nests. You'll be able to see a clump of grass or sticks and stuff and rabbit fur because mama pulls it off to insulate the nest and keep it nice. So if you have them and you're going to cut the grass, make sure you block off the hole so they don't, because little bunnies jump out when they hear the lawnmower and you can imagine the horror you would see there, right? We don't want to see that. So that's that. It's nature is a beautiful, beautiful thing as we move into the next part of the year. So speaking of nature and beauty, we just had an event that the whole world could get in on, didn't we? We just had a worldwide event, celestial event. Now, it's not the first time that I've in my life seen an eclipse. I have seen a full eclipse when I was a kid, and I've seen partial eclipses here and there. And it really is an amazing thing. You can see how you could see how the ancient peoples, and I think we talked about this in a previous episode, when the ancient peoples would see something like that, they would see an eclipse and think that it has to be God or the gods or something is not happy with them because this whole sun is disappearing. And it is an amazing celestial event to see. So we had this, and it was worldwide. People were talking about it, and I watched it all day on the news, and you saw it happening at different parts of the country as the eclipse moved its way across the country. We didn't get a lot here in New Jersey. I think they said we got 90%, but of course it's cloudy because it's always cloudy here in New Jersey until June, you know, and then sometimes we get a rainy summer. It's not Florida. Let me put it to you that way. It's not Florida. It's not Southern California. It's cloudy and rainy and gray here until June, and then we get some nice days in the summer. Falls are usually beautiful here. The fall season is beautiful at the Jersey Shore, so I do like that. But that was an interesting thing to see, because we also have a comet, a green comet coming, right? I think they call it the Dragon's Comet or the Devil's Comet, something like that, because the chemicals that are in it are going to glow green. And I think you can see that this time of year as well. You should look it up. So the natural world is filled with these amazing, beautiful things that can connect us to the whole world. What I did see was excellent is that when the news was showing you people across the country that were in the path of the totality, as they call it, when it's completely black and dark because of the eclipse, you saw every different kind of person. You saw everybody that was, it didn't matter. They were just there with their families. They were there by themselves with their girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. They were there to see something amazing, something bigger than themselves, right? See, that's the thing. They were there to see something bigger than themselves, and everyone got along. Everyone got along really well, and it was very nice to see. So my whole first part of our get-together today is about niceness and goodness, because it was very comforting to see. I couldn't tell who was a Democrat, who was a Republican, who was anything else. I just saw people being amazed by nature and God's world. And it was really awesome to see. And I really enjoyed it. So on the line of God, see, we're trying to do nice transitions here today. Nice transitions from one thing to another. Recently, Pope Francis has come out with an opinion paper. The popes write opinion papers. That's some of the things they do. They interpret some things. They make judgments on things. They give opinions on things. Well, recently the Pope came out and he condemned transgender ideology, transgender theory, saying that basically somebody that thinks they can change their gender from what they were born with is somebody who thinks they're playing God. Now, I have to tell you, I have known lots of people throughout my life. As a law enforcement officer, you come across everybody, every kind of person, every ideology, every kind of lifestyle, everything. And you know what? What you find out is, in the course of your interactions with people, if you just look at each person as an individual, right? And you don't judge what they're all about, right? You just look at them as an individual. Everybody, we're all really the same. We all want the same things. We want comfort. We want love. We want friendship. We want opportunity to do what we want to do, express ourselves, all that kind of stuff. So I've spoken about it before. I have a very good friend of mine whose son, I guess he's transgender because he hasn't had an operation, but he dresses as a woman and he changed his name from a male name to a female name, and he's living with his boyfriend. Now, I can't interpret what that is. Is the guy just gay and he doesn't want to be gay, so he thinks he's a woman so that he can be with the boyfriend and not feel like he, I don't know. I have no idea what goes on in the kid's head. All I know is he's a good, decent kid. He's a nice young man, and now he says he's a woman, and well, God bless him then, I guess. You know, I don't know. Pope Francis don't say that, but I'm just saying, well, it doesn't matter to me. You know, is the same person as when he was a kid, only now he calls himself a she. And because of my interaction with people like this person and with other people of all different kinds of thoughts and whatnot, you know, it's one of those things. The hard part of the whole thing is that if that's what people want to believe in their mind, that that's who they are, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. They can be who they are. The problem, and I think most people feel that way. Most people don't care. Do what you want to do. You know, live your life. I'll live mine. And somebody living two towns over that was born a man and now decides he's a woman and wants to be called Shirley and wear a wig and a dress, I don't care. It doesn't affect me. If that's what makes him happy, then let him be happy. That's what I say. You know, the problem, I think, most people, I think, feel that way. Nobody cares. You know, the problem happens when that person demands I do different things. I think different thoughts. I say different things. That's really where the argument comes in. You know, and I get it. You know, they feel different than what they were, and they want you to acknowledge it for them so that they feel, I don't even know what the word is, so they feel truth in it. Well, if this person's now calling me a woman, I must be a woman, and that's what I want to be. I can only think that that's what it is. And I get that. I get everybody wants to be acknowledged. We all want to be acknowledged for who we are and what we do. So I'm trying to work this out. Now, I know some of you are out there thinking, hey, Lieutenant Joe, you're kind of a conservative guy, and you know, why aren't you more upset about this? Well, yeah, I'm not upset because it doesn't really affect me. You know, it only affects me if somebody demands I do and say something that I don't want to say. And I have said before, if I meet somebody and they want me to call them Shirley, I'll call them Shirley. If that's what makes you comfortable, God bless you. I don't care. It doesn't matter. That you say that's your name, I'll call you Shirley. You know, it's when it goes further than that. And I don't mean just me. I think in talking with lots and lots of people, very conservative people, they don't care what somebody else does. They don't care who they say they are and what they want, how they want to live. Go do it. Just don't demand other people get involved. Like if I said, okay, I am now, and this is where this comes from. I'm not going to say it was my own. I was watching a video and this guy comes to a school board meeting and he's dressed like Julius Caesar. And he announces, I am Julius Caesar. I'm the Roman emperor. And then he turns around to the audience and goes, does anybody here believe I'm really Julius Caesar? And people start laughing. He goes, well, that's wrong because I identify as Julius Caesar and I want you to call me Caesar. I want you to call me emperor. That's what I expect you to do now because this is who I am. And he asked somebody, will you call me Julius Caesar? And the person said no. And he goes, why not? He goes, because you're not really Julius Caesar. He goes, but I think I am. I believe I am. And therefore, you have to do what I say. And the person said, well, that's not right because I know you're not. See, and that's where the argument comes in. He was fine saying he's Julius Caesar, dressing like Julius Caesar, living as Julius Caesar. He was fine doing that. But then he started demanding other people jump in on it. And that's when people were saying no. The other thing is I feel for anybody who's suffering. Anybody who's suffering. And I got to tell you, this young man that I told you about, that now says he's a woman and is living a different lifestyle. He's suffering. He's in pain. You know, every day of his life is a pain and a struggle because he thinks, you know, people are out to get him and, you know, Trump's going to round him up. And that was, you know, that was the conversation I had in a previous episode right when Trump got elected the first time. And he was like, I can't believe you supported that guy. He's going to round up me and everybody in my community. He's going to lock us away and he's going to put us in prison and make us take mental conversion therapy. And I said, what makes you think he's going to do that? Because he's conservative and that's what they want to do to us. Well, we had 4 years of Trump. I don't think he rounded up anybody. I don't think he put anybody in mental institutions and did any conversion therapy. I don't think he cared like most people. And this person, I spoke to him again at the end of the Trump first administration. I said, so what do you think? I mean, he didn't come after you. He didn't. But you know what? He's out of time. If he had more time, he would do it because that's what conservatives wanted. And he believes this with his whole heart. He believes it. And the concern is that if Trump gets another term, now he's going to do it. Just like you see these nuts say Trump's going to be a dictator. Now, once he doesn't have to run for election again, he is going to be a dictator. He's going to take over. Who was it? One of these nuts. on the one of these liberal TV station shows. This woman came out and said that Trump is going to round up black people, Hispanic people, anyone who's different than a white male, and he's going to lock them all up in internment camps. And she was 100% serious in her saying this. Now, to me, I think that's nutty behavior. She should be putting on the tinfoil hat. Does anybody really believe that Donald Trump is going to start rounding up minorities and locking them away in prisons? First of all, who's actually going to do the arresting? Even if he woke up deranged one day and said, "That's it, I'm the president. Lock up all the African Americans in our country. Lock up the Hispanics in our country. Lock up all the Asian people in our country and put them in prison right now." Who's actually going to go? Who's going to go do that? Who's going to go arrest all these people and put them in what prisons? Under what charges? "Well, Trump's going to be a dictator." Well, he can want to be a dictator all he wants. He can't just be a dictator. You know, that's why we have the three different branches of government. He would declare himself a dictator. And then, of course, as in all the world, when someone declares themselves a dictator, they have to control the military and tell the military to swoop in and arrest everybody in Congress and arrest everybody in the judiciary. And then I'm going to decide this. It's ridiculous. It is so absurd, so patently absurd and ridiculous that I can't believe that people on a television station get to make those kind of comments, and people shake their heads and agree with it. "I think you're right. I think it's really going to happen. I think Trump's going to do that." Well, we had 4 years of Trump, and he didn't round up people. He didn't lock up minorities. He didn't go out and order the army to go gun down that whole town. It is patently absurd, and that leads me into trying to understand how bad off our country really is, how mixed up and confused and crazy our country is. When we think of, and you say, "Oh, well, Lieutenant Joe, you think you're the most level-headed and real." Well, I think I did. I think I am. I think I'm kind of level-headed. I think I think things through. I don't just lose my mind and come up with these theories. "Well, you thinking socialists want to socialize the country and take over the court?" Well, they okay. That's okay. That's a good comparison. The people on the left think Trump wants to be a dictator and he's going to round up all the minorities and put them in prison or slave labor camps or something, I guess they're going to do. And they turn around and they say to me, "Well, Lieutenant Joe, you think if the left takes over, they're going to socialize stuff." The difference between the two concepts is I've actually seen them do those kind of things. I've seen their tendencies. I've seen them when they have power and control. So when we had Ronald Reagan, you know, that Ronald Reagan, they called him back then, he was going to start World War III. He was going to attack everyone. He was going to go after every community that was marginalized. And he didn't do any of that. But we were told that. That's what he was going to do. Every Republican that runs for major office is a racist. Every single one hates minorities and is going to use the power of the government to arrest people and put them in jail and open, concentration camps. That's what comes out every single time we have a presidential election. They talk about the Republican candidate like that. Have you ever seen it happen? So this is modern times. Let's go with, Ronald Reagan, even Nixon. Go back to Nixon. Did Nixon do that? Nixon did not do that. No. He had his own problems, but he didn't do any of that. And then we had Gerald Ford. Did Gerald Ford round up people and decide that, you know, only white people have power in this country? Only white people can be elected to things. Only white people. No, he didn't do it either. Then we had Ronald Reagan. Reagan didn't do it. Reagan didn't do all that stuff. We had George Bush, the elder. George Bush didn't do it. Then we had, George Bush, the younger. He didn't do it. And then we had Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't do it, right? Republicans never do the things that the people on the left say they're going to do. They don't become dictators. They don't attack the minority communities. They don't do these kind of dictatorial things that they tell you is going to happen. They don't push grandma off the cliff. They don't take over Social Security and rip it out of the mouths of the elderly, which is what gets said every single 4 years. Right? Looking at Social Security, which I can get in a couple years, it's probably not going to be there. It's definitely not going to be there for my kids, but they're going to put money into it their whole lives. So it would be a smart idea. See, if you took the nonsense out of it, you took the idiot ideas out of it and said, wow, if Social Security might fail, we should figure out how to fix it and save it. It might mean some changes, might need some this, might need some that, but we need to fix it because it's going to fail. That would be common sense. So my point being, everything that people on the left, progressives, liberals say that Republicans are going to do, they've never done when they had power. On the other hand, when our friends on the left get power, what do? Do they increase your rights or diminish your rights? Do they enhance your freedoms or restrict your freedoms? Do they change laws for their benefit or do they open things up for transparency? Well, let's just look. We have Joe Biden right now, who was always a moderate, really do-nothing kind of guy, a grifter, a gadfly kind of guy, elected out of Delaware. They liked old Joe. And he was in the Senate for all them years and didn't really do a lot. He's a plagiarizer, which means he's a liar. He plagiarized twice. He had to drop out of the presidential race two times for plagiarizing. We see all this corruption floating all around him. And is he trying to enhance people's freedom? Or are friends on the left who have power now trying to restrict you? Well, you see all the regulations that come into business to choke you out, confiscatory taxes that trying to choke you out, telling you what kind of car you can drive, what kind of toilet you can use, what kind of light bulb you can have in your house, how you can vote or not vote. And now they're going after their number one political opponent using the court system, using the law enforcement systems. These are the things that we see in tyrannical, socialist, communist governments around the world every time they take place. We see the exact same things that we're seeing our friends on the left do every single day. They want to take your gun rights away. They want to take away your border, which they've done. They want to control the economy, which they can't do, and they destroy every time they get their hands on it. So for these reasons, I do not see any validity in people saying that to me, saying, well, Lieutenant Joe, you believe in this and they're going to do that. And I've never seen it. But I have seen our friends on the left, when they get power, come after each and every American and use the power of government to control you. That's dangerous. We'll be back in a minute with more.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
when God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome back to this thing of ours, this thing of ours. Then we get together and do some thinking and talking and whatever. You know, so some of you are probably saying, Lieutenant Joe, I hear you coughing. I hear you having some kind of a hack or something going on. But aren't you taking things to keep you healthy? What's going on? Okay, first of all, let me say something to you. Even though it's like the tundra here still in New Jersey, we do have plants starting to pop and bloom. We start to have trees popping out. This is all pollen and whatnot that gets me. It's always gotten me, pollen and this and that. And there's things I guess you could take for that, but I don't want to take all that kind of stuff. What I don't get now, see, normally, for last years and years and years of my life, a thing like this, if I had a little hack, a little pollen in my nose or whatever, that would turn into a sinus infection. And then I would turn into a upper respiratory infection, and I'd be on pills for 2 weeks, and it'd be absolutely miserable. But I haven't had that in the last 3 years because, drum roll, please, I take the Healthy Cell products. I've been taking the Immune Boost product for a couple of years now, and I have knocked those kind of infections basically out of my life. I don't get them anymore. And the only thing I have done different, other than get older, is take the Healthy Cell Immune Boost, and it seems to work great. So if you're trying to find something for your health, go take a look at that. It's all over the network. They also have stuff to help you sleep. Not my problem, but other people have that problem. It can help you. And they have Focus Factor. So you start to get a little stunned, you're forgetting things, this and any other thing. Try the Focus Factor. It can help you focus on the things in your life. So you're not walking into the living room going, why did I come in this living room? I don't know. Take your take the products, right? Take a look at it. The Healthy Cell stuff, all good. All right, so here, let me ask this question. October 7th, 2023, we saw a terrorist group, Hamas, infiltrate Israel, basically commit an invasion into Israel and attack innocent civilians in kibbutzes, which are little towns, little communities, in a concert, walking the street, in their homes, in their shops, at their playgrounds, and absolutely commit an inhumane attack on other human beings. Attack men, women, and children. Killing innocent babies. Cutting out the organs of people. Cutting the breasts off of women. Raping them to death. Killing them while they're raping them. Killing children in front of their parents. Parents in front of their children. Burning little babies. I know, pretty disgusting, right? Pretty disgusting to hear these facts. But if you look at the news today, it's like that never happened. That never happened. And you even have a bunch of idiots out there running around saying, it's not been proved. That was all debunked. That was debunked. That never happened. And that's why the films and the videos should be released for those who want to see them, right? So that you can shut these idiots up. And they have to be idiots. They're either purposely stupid or they're stupid with a purpose. Right, they're trying to deny because they believe in Hamas. So one of the things, you know, back in the day, the great Rush Limbaugh, he had his 36 or 39 undeniable truths of life. And these were things that he saw in the course of his life that he believed to be the truth. And they were fun to listen to. And sometimes you agreed, sometimes you didn't. But he had points about it. I would add the 40th one. The 40th one, whatever somebody on the left says or believes, you're probably better off going the opposite direction. So when they tell you Hamas did not go in and commit those atrocities, then you probably be much better off saying, of course they did. right? If they tell you they won't raise taxes, you're better off believing, yes, they will. If you say they won't come after your rights, you're better off saying, yes, they will. So basically, whatever they say, if you want to find the truth, in most instances, you can go in the opposite direction of whatever they say. So one of the things is, when I say people either are purposely wrong or wrong on purpose, when we look at all of these kids on the college campuses who are supporting Hamas, supporting the Palestinian people against Israel, they're doing that because I think young people have a tendency to look at the underdog in any situation and feel that person is oppressed, and therefore we have to stand with them. So there's an old saying, if you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 40, you have no brain. And there's a reason that a saying like that exists, because you can look and see and say, first of all, anti-Semitism is real and it's alive and it's deadly. It has been deadly throughout all the centuries that we can go back. The Jewish people have been persecuted, attacked, murdered, and people have tried to vanquish them in every possible way that can be done. Oppressing them, holding them in slavery, destroying them physically, wiping them out, murdering them out of existence. You know, the air that we breathe today is only, 1945, 70, 80 years since World War II ended. The air that we're breathing now, that we're breathing the same air that the Nazis breathed, it's still floating around. It's not ancient time like the Romans that were thousands of years ago. This was within our lifetimes. These people were on the planet doing the evil that they were doing. And the attack on the Jewish population, the Holocaust, as they call it, the idea to murder as many people of Jewish descent as they could to wipe them out, the final solution. Think about that. Think about that. That happened in our lifetime. And it's horrendous. And this has happened to the Jews over and over and over again. And the reality is, that's what Hamas wants to do. That's what all of the countries that surround Israel would like to do. That's what a lot of people in America would like to do. They won't admit it. But anti-Semitism is real and it's alive. So when we see these young people, you say, okay, we have Israel, who did not attack Hamas until Hamas crossed the border and murdered 1,300 people. So Israel didn't start this most recent conflict. They are responding to it. And how many times can you allow rockets to be shot into your neighborhoods before you say that's enough? And then you go and stop it. We have had this conversation many times before. And the reality is, people on the left, they hear this conflict between Hamas and they say, well, they don't see Hamas as a terrorist organization. They see them as victims because they have less money. They have less power than Israel and the Jews. And they hate the Jews. So therefore, the Jews are wrong. Right? See, that's where anti-Semitism comes into it. Immediately, the Jewish nation is wrong for what they're doing, and Hamas represents the people, and the people are oppressed. So therefore, Hamas good, Israel bad. And so here's my quandary. Which side would you take? Well, if our friends on the left say they support Hamas, then a smart person would say, then Israel must be in the right. And I can tell you, they are. Israel is in the right. Now, I don't like anyone being killed, and I don't want the innocent people in Gaza and the West Bank injured. I don't want innocent people, but we got to ask, what does innocent mean? So the other day I was watching on one of these news programs, and there was a woman who was taken hostage on October 7th. She was an older woman, and she was taken hostage, and she was talking to this female reporter, and she was telling her what happened to her. And she goes, I was grabbed, I was dragged out, I was assaulted, I was this, that, and the other thing. And they brought me to this hospital where they were keeping people underneath, you know, because they do that. Terrorists hide people in schools and they keep weapons in school. They do all the things that everyone said, they would never do that. Of course they do that, because they know if you fire back at them, the news is going to go against you, because most people are anti-Semitic and they would rather believe that the Israelis would do something horrific than that a terrorist organization would, right? So long and short of it is, this woman was saying, she goes, when they dragged me and these other hostages in there, the nurses in the hospital were applauding and cheering that they had kidnapped Israeli citizens and dragged them to Gaza. Think about that. They were now, these are nurses. These were not Hamas fighters. These were nurses. When we saw the original pictures of people in the backs of these trucks, these young people that were raped, kidnapped, beaten, shot, murdered, and they were dragging their bodies through the streets of Gaza. We saw people running up and spitting on them and grabbing at them and hitting them. One very famous, the young woman who was dead and her body was nude. She had been raped to death and murdered. And people were running up and spitting on her and hitting her body in the back of this truck. The people that were doing that, from what I could see, were not wearing camouflage as the fighters in Hamas. They weren't wearing Hamas military outfits. They were regular people in the streets. Now, I don't know, maybe they were all undercover Hamas operatives, but it looked a lot like regular people who live there were doing this. They were cheering and celebrating that these hostages were grabbed and raped and beaten. I have seen countless intellectuals who support the people of Gaza. And when they say to them, do you reject and renounce and condemn what Hamas did on October 7th? They don't answer. They don't answer. They say, well, you have to understand it's a conflict zone. It's not a conflict zone. Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization, crossed a border with the purpose of committing murder, kidnap, and destruction. That's an act of war, right? Could you imagine if the Mexican cartels or Mexican citizens decide they're going to cross that border with guns and knives and murder and rape and destroy people in Texas or Arizona or Southern California, and that was their purpose to punish America because they don't like the fact that America has this border and wants to keep them out and took Texas 150 years ago and took California and they're striking back. How long would we sit back and say, well, I guess they're just angry. Do you condemn that? Well, you know, we did take California in 1842 or whatever it was. Well, we did take Texas from them, you know, back in 1813 or whatever it is. We would not sit back and say that. So why do we hold the Israelis to a different standard? Anyone else? Did we have rules for fighting when we were attacked on 9/11? Did George Bush stand on that pile and say that he heard everyone and the people who did this are going to hear from all of us? But of course, we're going to go in and we're going to feed their people and we're going to make sure that we don't blow up too many things and we're going to make sure that we treat everyone fairly. Is that what he said? No. What was the intent there? That we were at war. And we're going to go in and we are going to find the people responsible and we're going to get them. We're going to shut down their operations. We're going to blow up their stuff and kill their people who are doing this and anyone who supported it. Because while I don't like that, you don't like that, the idea of killing other human beings is horrendous. What we have to look at is, why did this action take place? Why did the United States go after all of these terrorists in Afghanistan and blow things up and kill people and grab bin Laden and shoot him and kill people in his family and all this? Why did that happen? Because the United States just decided, well, you know what? We want to go kill some people. Let's go kill some people of Arab descent. That would be fun. Is that why we did that? No, we did that in retaliation to what they did to us. The Israelis are over in Gaza and the West Bank doing what they're doing because of what the Hamas group did to Israel. And not just once, but repeatedly. I told you, I have a friend of mine who has a business in Israel, and I was talking to him one day and we were having these meetings, and he says to me, listen, just so you know, if we have to jump off this call, it's because the sirens are going and there's rockets incoming. And I said, well, what do you mean, rockets incoming? He goes, oh, every day. Now, this was before October 7th. Oh, every day, rockets are incoming. You from the north, from Gaza. You know, they're shooting rockets in, and what you have to do is you have to go to your bomb room in your house or your apartment. A bomb room. Why would you have to go to a bomb room? Well, you have to go to a bomb room because people are shooting bombs and rockets at you. Well, how many times did Israel roll over into Gaza when they had 1,000 rockets fired at them? They didn't. Sometimes they targeted the area when they can see where the bombs and the rockets came from, and they attacked it and they blew up a building where the rockets came from. Oh my God, they blew up a hospital. Well, the hospital is where they were shooting the rockets from. So the lesson there is don't shoot rockets from hospitals to kill innocent people, no matter who you are, because you know what can happen? You get retaliated on and it's going to be bad. And I feel horrible about that. Absolutely horrible. I've been in the hospital. I don't want nobody tossing rockets at me while I'm trying to recover. I've had family members in hospitals. I don't want nobody blowing them up. But if the United States was attacking somebody and they retaliated and we attacked and we kept our weapons and our rockets in hospitals and schools and people retaliated and blew them up, whose fault is that? You see, so if this is ringing true to you, because you know this, and most people who listen to this network know the truths about things. You're not these stunad left-wing people. You know this to be true. Israel is trying to do the best that they can to destroy an enemy who would kill every single person in their country if they could, who have said that October 7th on that attack is the first of many to come. So they're making direct threats. And you know, how many burned up, destroyed babies, raped dead women and young men and women, old women shot in the head, left for the side of the road, smacked and spit on? How many do you need before you say, wow, we better take these people serious? They did this. They've been shooting rockets indiscriminately at us for years. They come over the border and they kill people and they do these raids and they have tunnels underneath the city so they can get us and they can sneak away. How many dead babies do you need to see before you'll say, you know what, that's not right. They shouldn't do that anymore. Right? You see what I mean? So my friend in Israel tells me that when the sirens go off, if I have to run, it's because we have to go, right, do this. And I'm talking to him about it. And he goes, yeah, we have a lot of benches around here, reinforced benches, you know, park benches, street benches in front of all our apartment buildings. And if the sirens go off and you're in your car, you have to get out of the car and go to one of these benches and get underneath it because the rockets will hit the building and then shrapnel will come raining down and could kill you or your family or your baby carriage or your pet or your grandmother, right? So you have to hide under these benches. Are they asking for that? No, they're putting up with that. And they're trying to live their lives. Well, they shouldn't be there, Lieutenant, because that's what this, that, and the other thing. And no, that's not how the modern world is. You can feel that and believe that all you want. Just like the guy who said he swears to God, I am the Emperor Nero. Well, he's not. He can say he is. Just like this, we can say it's true, but it's not. Right? Palestine is actually Jordan. Right, Israel. When you go back, and I saw Charlie Kirk, and he's an interesting guy. Goes to these campuses and he gets engages with these kids. And he went out and he asked this one kid, and the guy says, "That's Palestinian territory." And he goes, "Really?" He goes, "Do you know who Jesus was?" And the guy says, "Yes, I know." And he goes, "And what was Jesus? What was his religion? Who was he?" And he says, "Well, he was a Jew, of course. Right? And where did he live? Where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem, and he's a Nazarene, right? That's Nazarene. And where did he go here? Copernicus. And where did he go here? And where are all those places today? What country are they in today?" And the guy says, "That doesn't matter." See, because our friends on the left will not answer a question. They will not accept truth if it hurts their argument. They just ignore it or pretend it's not real or refuse to acknowledge it. And the kid wouldn't answer the question. And he kept pushing him. He says, "What country are they in?" It's in Israel now. He goes, "Right. So that was 2,000 years ago. The Palestinians have not been there for that long. The Jews were there because it's their ancestral homeland. It's in the Bible. It's documented thousands and thousands of years ago. That was all Israel. It was called Israel back then. It's referred to as Israel. Now, did they have to leave? Did other people come in and take it over at certain points? Of course they did. All the different empires that took it over and who fought in and who fought out and attacked this, that, and the other thing. And at the end of World War II, when the world saw the atrocities committed against the Jewish people again, people decided in the right mind that the Israeli Jewish people should have their homeland to go to so that this doesn't happen to them again, so they're not attacked in all these countries, which they are. So they created, as a world body, at the end of World War II, when the United States could have gone in and taken the entire planet, everything. But instead, the United States worked with these other countries, and they came up with, what are we going to do? We're going to create this homeland for the Jewish people in Israel. And they did. Now, people don't want to hear that. They don't want to acknowledge that. Well, they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have done it. Well, there was a lot of things that shouldn't have been done. The Nazis shouldn't have attacked Europe. The Japanese shouldn't have attacked Pearl Harbor. The Italians shouldn't have attacked their neighbors. But they did. And that changed boundaries. That changed border lines. That changed everyone's life because of things that happen. Everybody's land has been somebody else's land at one point or another. And to just hang on to that thought that we're going to get rid of the Jews and drive them into the sea and we're going to take it back over again, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. And if we don't demand that everyone get on board and say, okay, we have to find another solution. Right? Because I don't want people who live in Gaza and the West Bank to suffer. I don't want little children to be hungry and get killed in their hospitals because there's bombs coming out of the hospital to kill people in Israel. But the world is not demanding that. The United States is not. Instead, they're threatening Israel. You better stop. You better not go in there. You better not do any more. You better back out. We're going to stop giving you weapons. They are fighting for their lives. If they allow what's left of Hamas, including the major leadership that's in Rafah, to survive, there will be more rockets flown into Israel. There will be more tunnels built. There will be more suicide missions. There will be more bombs. There will be more people going into kibbutzes and killing babies. Because that is what Hamas does. They are a terror organization. So the world should all come together and say, there needs to be peace. And the peace has to start now. And the world will rebuild Gaza and the West Bank. The world will all jump in and rebuild it so that the people can have a good and decent life. And I support that. I think they should have a good and decent life. But you don't have a good and decent life by trying to kill your neighbors. It just don't work that way. Right? So how come my president, Joe Biden, came out in strong support of Israel, but now for political reasons, now you talk about blood on your hands, for political reasons, he is now turning on Israel because he might lose the next election. So think about the great leaders throughout history who made decisions, and they made decisions for the good of their country or for the good of the allies or for the good of what was just good. Joe Biden is making decisions now so that he can stay in power, not for what's right in the face of history. And it's breathtaking to watch all of these people now turn away and say, well, we have a terrorist organization on one hand, we have Israel on the other, but gee, they might not vote for us if we keep pushing Israel. So we better shut Israel down. We better shut them down. Instead, the whole world, with one voice, should be screaming, Hamas should surrender immediately. Lay down their weapons and come out of their tunnels and their hiding places and hospitals and schools, and they should bring the hostages with them, and they should surrender, and the war ends immediately. See, everybody wants the war to end. They want ceasefire. They want this. They want the other thing. The world is not looking at this correctly. You have an evil group in Hamas that does bad things. And you have Israel who's trying to defend itself, trying to win against the evil. right? So the world, with one voice and clarity, should be screaming out, that's it. Hamas, surrender. And those people get arrested, they get tried, whatever happens to them for committing these atrocities, they have to deal with that. They shouldn't have done those things, bad move. And then the world can help develop some kind of a government in Gaza and the West Bank for the people there so that they can live a good and decent life next to the people of Israel without attacking them and killing them. Now, that seems like a very, very simple thing. But you know what prevents it is hatred and this belief that they can one day attack Israel enough, cause enough pain that they will leave, that all of the Jewish people in Israel will disperse from their homes to points around the world and leave that land for the Palestinians to take over and create their country of Palestine, drive the Jews from the, you know, from the river to the sea, and that's going to happen. The fact that the world is not looking at that and saying, you know what, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. So therefore, that's not a starting point. That is a dangerous point, right? It is a dangerous point if we don't shut that down. And as for my president, there are Americans that are hostages over there since October 7th. Americans. The 7th Fleet should be in the Mediterranean pointing guns at Hamas saying, give up those Americans right now or we're coming. How can we let Americans be held hostage by a terrorist group and do nothing? How do we threaten the people who are doing something that they better stop? They better knock it out. They better cease fire. You better feed every one of those people over there. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? As Jim Giordano would say. When you look at things in the light of day and you are clear with what's right and what's wrong. Just like my argument about Lieutenant Joe, the Republican, and you say, well, I have never seen the Republicans do those bad things you're afraid of, but I have seen those on the left do the bad things people are afraid of. It's the same thing here. Nobody wants to see this war. Nobody wants to see another person killed. Nobody wants to see another innocent person killed. But unfortunately, that's the reality of humanity. When we fight with each other, if we're not looking for goodness. We're looking for power. We're looking for something for ourselves. And the whole world needs to tell the Palestinian people, you need to stop killing. You're not going to get what you want. All you're going to get is tragedy and more death. And nobody wants that. They have to be able to work together. So I had a lot of other things I wanted to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, but you can see this is an important thing for the whole world. Nobody wants anyone to die. There's innocent people that are dying every day in this conflict, and it has to come to an end. So I say we say a prayer for everybody in the Holy Land, and we ask for peace and justice. And until we meet again, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.